With one heart.
Will you pray with me as we prepare our hearts and minds for the message today? Open our hearts and our minds so that we can understand the fullness of your word. Fill us with the light of your Holy Spirit and bless the servant you have chosen to share the word proclaimed today. In the name of Christ, the word was revealed. Amen.
This gospel reading that I'm about to read for you is found in all four gospels. They're a little different among each of them. In Matthew, which I will be reading from, and in Mark, it's pretty much the same, except that Mark, it mentions about the cost. That 200 that will cost for the food if they were to feed all these people. And it all Mark also tells us it's Jesus divided the people into groups of hundreds and fifties. Now Luke, pretty much the same, but tells us where they were in this deserted place was named Bethsaida. And Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God in Luke. However, when you get to John gave us a lot more details. He didn't even mention what the others would say that this happened. Jesus went away because his cousin was just killed, John the Baptist, and he needed some downtime, grieving time. John didn't even mention John the Baptist at all. So there are some differences. I encourage you, when you find these stories from different gospels, to read them in all the different gospels, all the various gospels. You get a fuller picture of what's going on. So hear the word of God, according to Matthew 14, starting with verse 13, rather. When Jesus heard what had happened, and we know what had happened was that John the Baptist was killed, he withdrew by boat primarily to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion. What did he have? Compassion on them and healed the sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it is already getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go to their villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Who should give them something to eat? The disciples. You could say me. "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," and they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples. Gave it back to them. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples go into the boat ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. The word of God. As you heard, we've been in the series, which we're continuing, where we're intentionally trying to get us to better connect with the community, the needs of our community, and you didn't need a luggage to go somewhere to do it. We're just going to go where Jesus went. He's always there for the disenfranchised, the marginalized, anywhere the brokenness is, the disabled, whether it's disabled, we heard that last week, whether it's disabled physically, mentally, or spiritually. But today, I want to focus on something what one might call soul food, taking a soul food metaphor out of this story. Jesus needed some soul food for himself in this time of grief. He needed time with his father to replenish him, to hug him and comfort him. See, before this story was told, as I said, his cousin was murdered. Jesus was now in deep mourning. Just trying to put yourself on where Jesus is. We're trying to set the scene for where he was and what he ended up doing. He needed time alone to grieve. So he crossed into a deserted place by the lake. As this guy named Van Hever would say, sometimes Jesus just needs to be apart so he wouldn't fall apart. I need to remember that. But people from everywhere heard about what had happened, and they were following Jesus, wanted to comfort him and because of his death of his cousin, to keep him company in his grief. Their presence literally aided Jesus' recovery from the mourning. Jesus was distracted from his grief by having compassion. That's why I had to repeat, he had compassion on them, even the time of his grieving. And he began to teach them and heal them. Their presence literally aided Jesus' recovery from his mourning. Jesus wanted to stop and do what he does best, meet them. Their needs around them, he's going to stop and do. We talk about it in the very first lesson. And sometimes we're thinking we have so much going on in our lives. We can't stop and tend to those we pass by. I like what St. Francis of Assisi would say when he was asked who your neighbors are. He said, the next person I met. The next person I meet is our neighbor. Jesus' deserted place where he went to heal his wounds must have felt like something like the desert of his soul at the time. Not only was his ministry rooted in John's, many of John's disciples became his disciples, but John was his first cousin. We see also in the scriptures how many times Jesus defended John's ministry, his habits, and his crazy eccentric self. Jesus defended it. So we know this really meant a blow to Jesus, knowing that he knew that his cousin's head was on a plate. It's probably a blow too for him because it kind of foreshadowed his own fate. Even though John didn't push the envelope as much as Jesus, and this happened to him, he knew what was about to happen to him and he can't stop it. So when the crowd gathered around and consoling him, perhaps, offering sympathy, perhaps it was just providing company in this time of grief, perhaps just sitting shiver as we learn about with him is a sense of comfort in his sorrow, but he stopped to teach them, to heal them. He reached out. There is power to touch. The power of touch for the soul. The power embodying relationship from the heart. The power of Christ's body community. You and I can never be underestimated. If you ever serve in a soup kitchen or any facilities that feeds the homeless or recovering addicts or alcoholics, you will probably relate to what I'm about to tell you. There are some ministries, you know, you guys know, Peter and I have a lot of, we were very involved with the homeless ministries back in Tampa. And everywhere there is a, there's several places in Tampa where they would feed the homeless. And I remember one place that I went to, the hungry and the homeless who came in and they listened to the hymns that were sung and the prayers and the sermon. And afterwards, we went into, sat them down at the table. So they had worship first, and then we fed them with food for their soul, literally. But what I often notice that the people in the kitchen, not the servers, would just put, they stayed in the kitchen. They were not going in and sit with our brothers and sisters. Over time, I encouraged them to come out, because you know me, I'm going to be sitting right there next to them hearing that story. Angel eventually invited them to come out and sit with these people, our brothers and sisters, and they did. But I can remember one time I got up to a man, he was just about to finish up his meal and put his tray away, and I went over to him with a big old smile and hugged him. You should have seen his face, he was so shocked that I took time to have conversation with him, much less to touch him. It's been a long time that anybody have ever, he ever received a smile or a respectable conversation. It brought tears to his eyes. There's power in a touch. I think I've told you this one before, but there's another occasion where Peter was with his people, his church in the street, and he went to follow. He called me and he said, "Debbie, you're going to come. I am with Mr. Prince. I know exactly where Mr. Prince is because he was one of our regulars." And I went there. I saw this man in a wheelchair, in a wheelchair, shirtless. I listened to his story. And I told him how God loves him and I love you. I have to love you by default. And I hugged this shirtless, sweaty man. And he's crying as I held on to him. There's power in relationship. There's power in touch. Simply by visiting a nursing home, you see the same thing. People there starve to be touched. They're starving for attention. They're starving to feel, have a little conversation. Those times can be so powerful because those touch becomes soul food to those people. God tells us that through Moses, that no one lives by bread alone, but by the word of God. There's no hiding relationship with God. This hands outstretching relationship with God to touch persons in their lives. We have the word, we have the message, we have hands. Just to sit next to somebody and tell them God loves you, that is powerful. Because here's the thing. When Jesus distributes the food to those people who came to comfort him in our story today, he does not feed them mere bread and fish. He fed them the very presence, his very presence. Because the bread and fish becomes the messianic prophet metaphor. Because bread, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the feeding that the feeding they got that day. He is the word of God. So they got everything they needed, not just for their body. They got everything they needed to sustain them. When we do that to somebody else, we're giving them Jesus, not in that moment, but something to sustain them through. And at the same time, we get to be blessed. Our faith gets to be increased. We get in a closer relationship with Jesus himself. It's not just an act that says, here's a bag of food. Here is a can of apple sauce. It is you giving them communion. Think of it as communion with these people, whether it's food. Because when you give them the bread of life, later on in John 6, 46, it says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So think of it, not just the food, the basket, where we're going to give Pastor that, because I know he's going to tell you, it is more than that. You're giving them Jesus, the very word. When you speak a word of God, God said the word becomes flesh. It's Jesus. You're inviting them into a relationship. The very presence of God, the glory of God, the hope of God's salvation and restoration. Can I get an amen? You know I need some help up here. My friends, these times are very powerful because they are soul food to somebody else. So what kind of food is in your diet? Are you content with the mere fast foods of life or the eat and run versions of a relationship? That may get you by, yes, but won't get you the soul food you need to flourish your soul, your faith, and so you can nourish somebody else with God's love. Friends, God's love is all comforting, all nourishing, all uplifting, and all sustaining. And today we have somebody in here with us who knows that very well. So let me invite Pastor Dan Craft to join me up here. And for years, as I told you, he's been part of the Emmaus group that meets here every Thursday at 7:30 in the morning. But more importantly, Pastor Dan is a pastor to the homeless through a ministry he calls The Least of These. So we're going to just ask him some questions to help lead him. So you have the mic, sir. And I'm going to move over here. And I'm just going to ask you, if you would, just tell us briefly how Least of These ministry started.
That'll be very easy. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. If you don't have them with you, you need to read that this afternoon when you get home, because Jesus was talking about the judgment when he's going to return and separate the sheep from the goats. And he's going to ask us a question. Have you given me the hungry meat to eat? Have you given the thirsty drink? Have you taken in the stranger? Have you clothed those who are naked? Have you visited those that are sick? And have you visited those that are in prison? And they said, Lord, Lord, when did we do all of these things to you? And Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. When Mother Teresa started her ministry in Calcutta, she was out on the streets of Calcutta and she saw a leprous man sitting begging. And she had a vision of Jesus. She looked at this leper and she saw Jesus. And that was when she received her calling to minister to the lepers of India. She saw Jesus in this leper. And what I'm trying to tell you is on Judgment Day, Jesus is going to ask us, have you done these things? They're called the six corporate works of mercy. We're all required to do them. All of us, if we call ourselves a Christian, we're supposed to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, help the stranger. And in modern day terms, I would call that stranger the homeless. The world, just drive up and down the roads here in Fort Myers and you're going to see homeless everywhere, everywhere. They're hungry. They have no shelter. Many of them need clothes. And you say, Pastor Dan, what can I do? Do what God lays on your heart. What he lays on your heart. You don't have to start a ministry, but you can support ministries that exist already. You say, I can't go into prison. So ask Glenn when's the next Kairos, and support Kairos because they go into prison. Right, Glenn? So you don't have to go into prison. You can support Kairos. What about distributing food to the homeless? Talk to Peter and Pastor Debbie about the food pantry here. And I'm sure you do, because that's where we receive a lot of donations, is from you guys to help us distribute food to the homeless. I started coming here, what was it, Glenn, 5-6 years ago? Something like that. Because my prayer group disbanded and I needed somewhere to go on a weekly basis for the accountability group. So I started coming here with Glenn because I knew Glenn from Kairos. And I come every Thursday morning at 7:30. And as we got to know each other in this group, they began to ask me questions and I began to talk about what my wife and I did. And there's two things that we do on a weekly basis. We go around to thrift stores and collect Bibles, and we distribute those Bibles to those that need Bibles, whether it be a mission that needs pew Bibles. I've done a bunch of that. If it's I save my study Bibles that I collect and take to the jail, the chaplain loves to distribute study Bibles to the people in jail, because if they're going to be locked up for 90 days or 6 months, he gives them a study Bible and say, here, follow the study pattern in this. And they got something to do for 6 months. They sit on their bed or sit in their cell and study the Bible. We give New Testaments back to Peter here, and they put them in the food bag. Right, Peter? I just gave him a few bags this morning that I collect when we go out. And we call that Share the Word Ministries, just because that's what we do. We gather the Bibles and we share them. And I don't charge for them. They're free. How could I charge for them? God's Word. So I distribute God's Word. And the next second thing we do is least of these ministries. And that's where we take bags of food, like you see Pastor Debbie and them have made up here for us. And we distribute these to the homeless. And we have found homeless communities all in all kinds of places, places you wouldn't think they were there, where they've got tents hidden in the woods and camps set up. And the sheriff's department here in Lee County has disbanded a lot of those and made them move on. So we have to actually look for them, hunt for them. And we find them on a regular basis at the Salvation Army on Edison. So you don't have to wait to donate to me to do it. If you want to get stuff together and take to the Salvation Army, they have a whole homeless center on Edison that you can help. The point I'm making is you don't have to start a new ministry. You can support the ministries that are out there. What's the ministry downtown? The name slips me for a minute. Downtown Fort Myers, it's in the old First Baptist building. Citygate. Yeah, they take care of the homeless. The homeless can bring them their dirty clothes and they wash them for them and tell them when they can pick up clean clothes. Think about that. You reckon those washing machines burn up every now and then? Yeah. So go down there and say, Pastor, do you need a new washing machine? Okay, here. Are you giving this unto Jesus when you do that? Yes, ma'am. And I don't know why I just said that, except maybe they need a washing machine. Who knows? Maybe the Lord was just laying that on my heart. I have no idea. But what I'm saying is you don't have to start a new ministry. You can support the ones that are out there. Support Peter and Debbie with the food pantry here. And that supports us because they donate to us to help us with the homeless. But that's where it all started, was from that passage of scripture, Matthew 25. Because on judgment day, I don't want to be standing there and Jesus asked me, have you done this? I want to be able to say, yes, Lord, I did it. Because they ask him, Lord, when were you hungry and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you drink? When were you homeless and we gave you shelter? When were you sick and we visited you? When were you in prison and we visited you? When were you naked and we clothed you? Amen. And then what did Jesus say? If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So if you want to minister to Jesus, you can get in your car and go to the nursing home and find out when are visiting hours. When can I come and just go room to room and sit with people and visit? When our daughter was in elementary school, she got an idea that she wanted to go to the nursing homes. And that's really when our ministry started. And we went to thrift stores and collected stuffed animals, teddy bears. And we'd take them home and wash them and clean them and make them smell nice and put fresh ribbons on them. And we'd take them back to the nursing homes, and Hillary and Danielle would go room to room and pass out teddy bears. And we called it Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear Ministry, because there was an old hymn called Gladly the Cross I Would Bear. Y'all heard that hymn? It's an old hymn. It's probably in your hymnal somewhere. But that was just that's an idea. So if you got an idea, run with it. Do it as unto Jesus. Don't donate to the food pantry here just because it's Debbie's food pantry at Wesley Memorial United Methodist. Do it because you're doing it to Jesus. Don't give to Kairos because Glenn said he needed money to go to the prison. Do it because Jesus is in prison. How many times have we been to prison and found Jesus, Glenn? Every time we go. I'm telling you, miracles happen when we go to the prison. Miracles. I've seen guys healed. I've seen them saved. I've seen them delivered. Demon-possessed, satanic worshipers delivered and become Christians because we came in there and the doors were locked behind us and we led them to Jesus.
Thank you. He did say, I'm going to come. I may start his ministry just saying that I'm going to set those in prison free and give sight. That's how it started.
Yep.
And all we're called to do is just that in all these different ways.
And I'm sorry if I've said too much. I get excited talking
about this. No, it's quite fine.
I get excited.
This is what this is exactly what it's about, my friend.
That's right.
This is what it's about. We're here trying to figure, because God is putting something on your heart to do something. I told you that you don't need my permission. You don't need anybody's permission but Jesus is. So go and do it. Be the hands and feet of Jesus. I told you, I read that poem from St. Teresa in the beginning of this thing, saying he has no hands and feet but yours. That's Christian in action.
How many of you have a relative in a nursing home or an assisted living facility? How many of you? Raise your hand. I see a few hands. So what's wrong with getting in the car and going and visiting them?
Mm-hmm.
And you sit for 20, 30 minutes and talk and ask them questions and tell stories. And then maybe you ask the nurse, can you visit some more people? And you know what they're going to tell you? Well, sure. How many you want to visit? And you just go room to room and talk with them and share with them. Where are you from? How many kids you got? Tell me about your grandkids and watch their eyes light up. And as you're sitting there listening, you say to yourself, that's Jesus right there. That's Jesus I'm talking to. Because you don't know what you're doing to help, how you're helping their heart when you do that. Because they might have been sitting there lonely for months. Nobody's been to see them for months. And you sit there and listen and ask them questions. And you're sharing Jesus with them.
And they hear these things. When you just said that, just remind me of I was telling Karen this morning, I used to go to John Knox in the old nursing home facilities in Tampa, big thing.
Yep.
And we had people in there, and I will go and visit my folks. And then she'll say, I remember Phyllis. Her name was Phyllis. And she said, the person next, my neighbor over here, have never had anybody visited them. And I started to visit that person, the next person, the next person. Before I know it, I had a whole row of people that I visited to.
Absolutely.
So it's,
and start yourself a nursing home ministry where you go visit the nursing home once a week or once a month or whenever you're available.
Yes. Transformation happens wherever
God lays it on your heart. That's right.
Transformation happens. And we are the church. Every one of us is called. When we go into the next series, you're going to see that through Timothy, we have to learn that we are all called to do the ministry of Jesus Christ.
And do it unto the least of these, And you've done it to Jesus.
Right, exactly.
And that's what he's going to ask you on Judgment Day. That's at the judgment seat of Christ when he separates the sheep from the goats. Have you done these things? No, Lord. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't want to be a goat. I want to be a sheep.
Amen, amen. Thanks, Pastor Amen. Dan. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us today.
Thank you. Praise God.
My wife Bonnie's on the front, second pew down here.
Yes. So thank you both. Thank you so much for that. I hope you were inspired and getting ready to go sit in the Lord and see what God has for you next, individually or collectively. I want to take this next few minutes to show you a few how this works. Here are some pictures and probably should have blown it up a little bit. These are some folks back in Tampa that were homeless. Clearly, they're homeless. So we moved from that, had started building relationship. Peter's friend, this is Gator. Peter took when Gator's birthday, they went and celebrated Gator's birthday to them, building a relationship. Next. Now, then we started to feed them in, this is what a Forest Hills church, my first church before I got there. Then we started to feed, bring them inside from the street inside our building. And our brothers and sisters were having lunch. Saturday mornings we fed it, because we did a research and realized that on Saturdays was the one morning, was one of the days that they didn't have in the area food. Because every day they knew, it's a transit. They know, our friends knew where to go to get the next meal. So we realized Saturday morning was one time they didn't have in that area meals. So we started a ministry, brown bag ministry, on Saturday morning. So we took them from the streets into our building. It's actually started on our lawn outside. So it was a transition, their street to the lawn into our building. Go to the next one. And every time we come to have church, see the prayer, see, no, what we call these days the alternative church. Because our friends might not be happy comfortably in here, but we have a space where they might be. And that's something that we probably should think about as we go along at our alternative church. Anywhere we're preaching the word of God, having prayer, I just said Jesus, which that's Jesus, help them see that's Jesus and building that relationship. So it takes a time, but smaller relationship, one by one, and it multiplies. This is the multiplication that you was talking about in the scripture. Because you notice that Jesus gave them back the broken bread. So no, you go feed them. It's the same thing Jesus is telling us today here. I've given you the word. I've given you me. I am the word. I am the bread of life. No, go tell, give it to somebody else. And that's the multiplication that happens. Is there another one? And I've always said, you heard me say, when we're doing what God called us to do, he will bless us. And this truck, I put it in there. I'm so glad I found this in my 3,000 pictures. This truck was a blessing. There's a ministry that called Love Inc. that Peter and I were invited to be in the steering company. When this guy came into my office one day and said, hey, I got this vision to bring resources from different churches together. I want to see what Forest Hills can do. I said, we only have feeding ministry. That's the only thing. You don't need food. We give you food. That's how the heart of who we are. Guess what? That's what this church does too. And I had him introduce him to the guy in the front. His name is Ralph. Ralph passed away now. And they both of them had a conversation. And they realized that Ralph has to get up every morning, like from 4 o'clock and in the morning, to go different supermarkets in his pickup truck to pick up bread and whatever things from different places. But his truck was getting run down. Mike came back to me and said, Debbie, Ralph shouldn't do this. Just look at all that he's doing. His own truck shouldn't do this personally. And that night he went home, he sent an email for I forgot how many people and tell them our story and Ralph's story, how he's touching folks. And in 48 hours, go back to the truck. In 48 hours, that was my church driveway. That was the delivery of that truck that day. 48 hours, we got a truck for Ralph to use just for the ministry. When God, we're doing what God called us to do, he will always bless it. Amen? So as we think about this scripture this morning, God begins with thanksgiving. Then he breaks the loaf, recognizing God's hands in everything. And that's what we have to remember. God's hand is in everything. Without God's blessing, the food would have been wasted. But God, with God's blessing, not only they had food to sustain them, but it multiplies. For the word of God can bring something out of nothing. This is the lesson of creation. When God said, when there was nothing, God said, let there be. Jesus says, here, there's little, but now you have plenty. You have plenty. You know my whole thing about with little people, little of us can do plenty things. It's all about God's multiplication theology. So I ask you, in Deuteronomy, before I ask you, Deuteronomy 8:9, God tells us, he promised us that he'll take you to a land where the bread will not be scarce. Jesus fed God's people with fish, loathsome fish. So I'm asking, where were you going to share the food? Where will God, you take the soul food and share with somebody else? Because you got it. It was given to you to give to the people. That's what the word said, isn't it? Now it's your turn. Will you join Pastor Dan and Bonnie or support one of these other things? There are many opportunities and ideas he gave us where we can do. Don't let this series go by and you go into the next without doing something different. I beg you, because the blessing is tremendous. Let us pray over these food, the food pantry volunteers this week. I made an extra 50 bags so Pastor Dan can take with him. I didn't bring all of them up here, but they're back there and they're over somewhere up here. So will you lean your hands either towards the food that's here right now, and as we pray today together, just remember the people who will receive them. They're not just getting food, they're getting Jesus. Picture them in your mind. Picture the souls that will be touched by this to sustain them, not for today, but for into their tomorrow's, into the eternity. Father God, we just thank you for the word today. We thank you for the teaching of your son, Jesus Christ, and who was all about the multiplication and feeding those who are hungry, those who are naked, those who are outcast, those who are forgotten or overlooked, those who are disabled, those who are broken, those who are healed, needs healing of the mind, body, and spirit. God, as these food leave this place today, dear Father God, let there be nourishment not only for their stomach, but for their soul. Let it surely be soul food for them so they can eat when, as we take our communion, we believe that we're taking in the very presence of God. Let these food be their communion, dear Lord Jesus. Let they feel your spirit go through them. Let they feel your love of your son, Jesus Christ. Father God, use us for your glory. We are surrendering ourselves to you this day. Have your way among us, Lord Jesus. Have your way among us so we can do what you have asked us to do. And when the answer questions are asked us of us, we can say, yes, we did. Your mercy and grace was flowing through us, so in the overflow into those you have placed in our path. Bless those, Father God, those who are leading these ministries of to the lost, the least of these out there, Father. Bless every single person who comes every week, dear Lord God, for the and give their parts in the food pantry that we have for you, whether in the contributions or with their time or talents. God, let it be abundance upon this house of God called Wesley Memorial. Father, you have shown us your glory time and time again. And Lord God, thank you for using us. Continue to stretch us, dear Lord Jesus. Because we know what you can do with few. Plenty. In your eyes is plenty, Lord God. Let us see as you see. Let us be heard as you have been heard. Take us to those who you, the light is before us, God. Keep us in obedience to what is resting on our hearts this day. For in the name of the King, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, we pray this day. Amen.